Praise the Lord. We are entering already 2 months of being in a lockdown at home. Doesn't matter how much time has passed, this is really hard to get used to. But one good thing is that we are able to worship online together. Someone asked me, is this a pre-recorded message for the English service? No, it's not. It's going live. So every mistake that we make here, you are going to catch them. We're continuing with the series of fear. Today we're going to talk about fear of failure. On May 13th, 1983, in a game against the Minnesota Twins, Reggie Jackson, he was coined as being Mr. October because he was a slugger who hit a lot of home runs. Playing with the California Angels became the first major leaguer to strike out 2,000 times. 2,000 times being struck out. Asked him afterwards how he felt, and this is what he says. It means that I did nothing but miss the ball for 4 full seasons. Missing the ball, that makes you feel like a failure. Have you ever felt like a failure in your life? We all, at one time or another, deal with the problem of failure. When you fail, it feels empty. You feel despair. You feel depressed, disappointed, sad. We feel as if we're not good enough, that we have not met the goal or a standard. In America, where we idolize success, many have distorted understanding of failure. We have this feeling and almost a need to constantly to win and to succeed. We almost feel like it's un-American to fail. Some even label those who fail as losers. Thus, in order for us to really be accepted and to be praised, we feel like we need to win no matter what the cost. You see people lying and cheating in order to achieve success. You see people getting so depressed because of their financial failure because they feel like because they have failed in finance, they have failed in everything. Failure is part of our life, yet people react in a very negative way. For Asian Americans who grew up being demanded of perfection, straight A is the only acceptable grade. Anything less than straight A is no good. I was involved in campus ministry during my seminary days. And in our congregation, one day I got a call saying that one of our members committed suicide. And went over and tried to find a reason why he decided to end his life. We found out that he left a note saying that he was so depressed because he wasn't doing well in school. He wanted to go to medical school, and the grades that he got wasn't good enough, and so he killed himself. You see, failure, if we do not react in a positive, in a right way, we can have a tragic ending. A lot of times we vastly over-exaggerate the effect of failure. Failing is not the end of the world. It's not going to kill you. The fear of failure is far more damaging than failure. So we need to learn the truth about failure. First, we need to realize we all fail. We all fail. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, if there's anyone listening to this message who have never failed in life, raise your hand and I'll give you a chance for you to fail today. We all fail. Let me introduce someone who specializes in failing. No, I don't say this with pride, but with a little bit of shame. But I also know that hiding behind the smokescreen of success, I will only be fooling myself. So here are my failures. More than I want, I fail as a husband, not loving my wife as Christ loved the church. As a father, I fail. I tell people how to be a good father in father school, yet myself, I fail in a lot of ways. As son, I fail. Rather than honoring, I time to time talk back to my mom. As a pastor, I fail. And people who are close to me, they know what kind of failure I am. Just walk into my office and you look at my desk and you're going to see that I have failed to keep it neat. Even this morning, I failed. I was giving message in Korean, and I was telling the timeline of how long Noah's family stayed in the ark. And I put 150 days, but it was more of over a year, but I said 150 days, and someone pointed that out right away. You see, time to time, I want to cover it, yet people know. Time to time, I fail to be intimate with God as well. Though I give my advice to many people how to have relationship with God, I cannot honestly say, as Paul proclaimed, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Over the years, some people have reminded me of my failures, and some even abandoned me because of their displeasure. Here I am, a flawed, clumsy, unorganized follower of Jesus. You can call me a failure. Of course, I want you to think of me as an intelligent, confident, talented, loving, faithful man of God. Of course, I want to be admired and praised. But let me tell you that I'm not far from it. How about you? When was the last time you felt like you failed? Well, if I sat down one-on-one with you and went over the questions, I'm sure that we can spend a lot of time sharing many, many failures of our lives. Failure is part of our lives. Reading the biography of great men and women, what do we read? We read stories of success, but before they become successful, we read a lot of stories of their failures. Well, take a look at Abraham Lincoln. He failed in his election so many times until he won. George Washington, he lost a lot of battles before he won the war. Thomas Edison, reportedly, he performed 50,000 experiments before he developed a storage battery. You see, failure is a stepping stone of success. A lot of times people take failure as the end of the world, that this is it. Scripture is filled with the stories of saints who failed. Peter, the disciple, who was most vocal in his determination to follow Christ, denied Jesus with an oath. King David was guilty of adultery and murder, yet he is referred as a man after God's own heart. Both Peter and David understood that failure doesn't come in failing. It comes in not getting back up. Let me tell you this. A failure is not someone who has tried and failed. Failure is someone who has given up trying and resigned himself to failure. Failure, it is not a condition, but an attitude. Let me repeat that again. Failure is not a condition, but our attitude. What is the antidote of failure? We need to admit it. Admit that I am not perfect, that I don't have it all together. The three hardest words for us to admit is this: I was wrong. These three words are the key to restoration and redemption from our failures. In our failure, we see our imperfection and we realize that we cannot live this life alone. We realize that in our failure, we need others and we need God. And that that goes for everyone. Because we have all failed, and if you happen to feel like success right now, there may be an incident of failure waiting just around the corner. It is important how we react to failure. Here are some common reactions, what people do when they fail, when they feel like failure. Well, they play blame game. Because of so-and-so, I failed. That's what happened in Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God and ate forbidden fruit. Men blamed woman. Woman made me do it. And the woman blamed the serpent. Serpent made me do it. Being descendant of Adam and Eve, we're so good at placing blame and pointing fingers at other people. When we begin to point fingers, we create more opportunities to fail. You see, God never blamed us for our failure. He is waiting for and to see what we will do when we are down. God does not keep the account of our past failure, and we also ought to look forward toward the goal, not remain discouraged and upset about the present. A man went to see his doctor for advice, and this is what he said. I'm losing my memory, doc. The man explained. A week later, he received the diagnosis. We cannot help your memory without impairing your eyesight. The choice is yours. Would you rather be able to see or to remember? The man thought for a minute, fidgeted a little, and then replied, I'd rather have my eyesight than my memory. I'd rather see where I'm going than remembering where I've been. So true. Rather than dwelling in the past, we need to look forward to what God has in store for us. Too many of us are controlled by where we've been in the past. Overpowered by the past failures, we determine to give up. But like the man in the doctor's office, we need to determine to press on. And the second thing that people usually do is to hide when they fail. Guilty and shame plays a major role in bringing us down. The feeling of, how can you face people with a straight face after what you have gone through? You've been laid off. What will you say when people ask you where you're working? You just went through a divorce. You just filed bankruptcy. You just broke up with your best friend. What are you going to do? It is very easy to hide. And you feel like if you run, then you will not have to deal with the problem, with the condemnation, with the criticism. But the process of running and hiding, you are going to lose a chance to grow, advance, and succeed. It is very easy to hide, but it is difficult to come and face the problem and the failure. You see, failure does not automatically grow your character. To some, failure just makes people bitter. Failure only builds your character when you respond to it correctly, when you learn from it, and when you grow from it. Then what should a right response should be? When we fail first, we need to admit it. We need to admit it. Jesus said this in the Bible, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We need to admit to God that we need rest, that we have burden, we are weary, that we are experiencing this burden and failure, and we need to respond to the call of Jesus. You see, Jesus, he loves losers. Jesus could not stay away from the failures. Everyone that came near Jesus, there were people who had failed in life. Look at the woman who had failed 5 times in her marriage. Look at the blind man by the pool who failed to get this timing down for 38 years. Woman with the bleeding disease who failed to give up. The fisherman who failed at fishing. The thief who had failed in keeping the law. Adulterous woman who failed the moral purity. The doubting disciple who failed to believe. If you look at the Bible in Luke chapter 14, there's a story, a parable of Jesus about the failures. A wealthy man prepared a party and invited his successful friends. However, everyone made excuses not to come. So what does he do? He sends his servants out, and then he goes out and invites all the losers, all the failures, all the drunkards, all the prostitutes, all the homeless people, all the lame people. He invites them to come to the party. And he threw the party for the people who have failed, who are misfits, who in our own eyes feel like, well, they're losers. They're just, failures. Jesus invited them for a party. Message of Jesus is clear. He doesn't shun away from the people who have failed. He doesn't push away people who are losers. He is a friend of sinners, the Bible says. And for us to really, we need to not only admit it, but we need to really come before him. And the church needs to do this as well. A church is a place where sinners are gathered, yet in today's when we look at the state of church today, we feel like we have only goody two-shoes at church. All the people who have failed feel like they need to just be away from church. Why is that? Perhaps we think that we are free from failures. Maybe we consider ourselves as ex-failures. Yeah, I have failed, but then I no longer will fail. You see, we are candidates of failure every day of our lives. Henry Nouwen pointed this out. He said this, Christians have always been downwards mobile. We are unified by our common weaknesses, our common failures, our common disappointments, our common disillusionments, and our common inconsistencies. See, church is a gathering of people who have not done well in life, who have failed, and we come here because we need the strength of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and saved us. It's not when we got all our act together that Jesus offered his life. It is when we're yet sinners, he died on the cross for us. So we need to have the same attitude. As we are sinners, as we are people who fail all the time, that we need to have a heart of Jesus. When people who have failed in life come to church, we need to embrace them, not to push them away. If Jesus welcomes, who are we to push them away? He loves to welcome the prodigals. And he not only welcomes, but he throws a party. Have you ever had in your area of your life that you have habitually failed in? How many times you have to fail and come before God and he accepts you? Well, I'm glad that Peter asked a question to Jesus. How many times should I forgive my brothers? Should I forgive just 7 times? Is that good enough? Well, by law, 3 times was the limit, but then Peter was being generous. I'll forgive up to 7 times. 70 is a perfect number. Jesus said, no, that's not good enough. 7 times 70, meaning to perfection. Endlessly, you need to forgive and accept them. That's how God embraces those people who have failed in life. God doesn't get tired of people who come to him with help. Many of you grew up in homes where perfection was demanded. And maybe that kind of shaped us and molded us for us to feel like, in order for me to really be loved by God, I need to be perfect. I need to perform. You see, if we have that kind of attitude, then we cannot really embrace the concept of grace. There was a young man who could never please his father as he was growing up. No matter what he did, it always was met with criticism. If he mowed the lawn, his father saw only a few blades of grass that he missed, not the rest of a lawn that was done well. If he cleaned the garage, no matter how much time he spent or how much effort that he put in, he always found something to complain about. If he brought home his report card with the grades, his dad would spend more time talking about the single B+ than all the A's that you got. He lacked self-confidence because of his father's criticisms and judgment. So he became obsessed with this feeling of having to perform, and this affected his spiritual life as well. For him, he felt like, how can I please God if I don't perform? So he felt like he needed to do a lot of things to make God happy. And this is how he felt. After all, the Bible says that it's impossible to please God. Well, he was quoting from Hebrews 11:6, but he missed this point. The verse actually says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Pleasing God is not that hard. You just have to trust him. If you base your faith upon performance, that I have done well, and I have read the Bible, I prayed, and I helped the poor, and I gave tithing, and all these things, with the spiritual pride and arrogance, you can only do one thing. You become judge of others. You become judgmental. People who are not who don't measure up, you tend to look down at them, and you criticize them. Message we're so accustomed to hearing is this. Success means I am valuable. Success, failure means I'm worthless. You are wrong. That's not how God calculates. Please don't transfer the image of unpleasant parent onto God. God doesn't treat you the same way. You can relax in his grace. Grace is given to someone who doesn't deserve. We'll all fail, not only today, but in the future as well. But let me tell you how you can fail successfully. Failure in life is inevitable, but failure itself is never final, never fatal. Remember that. Some people are so afraid of failing that they never try. That's the biggest failure in life. Some people make such preparation for a rainy day that they are not enjoying today's sunshine. Well, just because you're worried about you're going to fail again, you're not going to enjoy today, that's a dumb thing to do. In our failure, we can succeed. Jesus showed us how. To the one who witnessed the trial and crucifixion of Jesus, to many, Jesus was a failure. What did he do? He didn't have any wealth. He didn't have even clothes on his back was taken away. He didn't have any belongings, but he was a failure. But his failure turned into success on Easter morning. Our failure can take one of the two paths. Either we feel sorry for ourselves and try to find someone to blame, or we can fall into Jesus, his loving arms, and redeem our mistakes and shortcomings and press on. Failure can either become a weight or it can give us wings. Failure is merely an opportunity to start over again, to be wiser again. How can you reduce that fear of failure? Redefine failure. What is failure? Failure is not failing to reach a goal. Failure is not failing to reach your goal. Failure is not setting the goal. Failure is not fulfilling all your dreams, but failure is not having a dream. Failure is not falling down, but failure is refusing to get back up. My definition of failure is this: refusing to try, refusing to get up. Today's passage says this: righteous men fall 7 times, but he rises again. Falling 7 times means you fall just perfectly. Every chance you have, you fall. But then righteous men will rise again and again and again. That's what we're called to do, to rise up again. Have you failed in many areas of your life? Learn to get up. That's what God desires. Let's pray. Lord, we admit that we have more times that we failed than we have succeeded. Help us. Help us to get up again. Our God is a lover of those people who have failed. Rather than trying to struggle on my own, may we come to you, asking you for help. For you are calling those who are tired and weary, that you will give us rest. May we find rest in you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.